This is Jay Sekulow. More failures by law enforcement in the Florida shooting.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
A deputy arrive at the west side of Building 12, take up a position, and he never went in.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Was he there when the shooter was still inside the building?
Yes, he was.
And so what should he have done?
Went in, addressed the killer, killed the killer.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We're closing the week here, and we debated before we went on air about talking about this, not talking about this, but this latest law enforcement failure cannot go unnoticed. The deputy that was the school resource officer in Florida refused to engage the assailant. Not only did he refuse to engage the assailant, he didn't go inside the facility to try to protect some students. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for law enforcement. But not when they do this. The president has called him out. I don't know if we have that soundbite available yet. We will have that. He addressed that issue. But also, I will tell you that between the FBI's failure and now the law enforcement failure by the state of Florida, the sheriff county's Broward County office of sheriff, this is a systematic failure within law enforcement to where I don't know if they know what their jobs are anymore. I mean, is it maybe that's what it is. I mean, these people are trained. This was an experienced sheriff and would not go in to protect the 14-year-olds from a 19-year-old with a weapon. That is his job. Protect and serve is what the usual motto is of state law enforcement.
Well, and the sheriff has now acknowledged that his office, so the local law enforcement, received 23 calls just to the sheriff's office related to the suspect going back as far as a decade, including one last year, and said that he was collecting knives and guns, and they did not adequately follow up. Now, the deputy who stood outside the school while the shooter went on this rampage has resigned because he never went into the school after the shots were fired. Two other deputies have been placed on restricted duty because they may have mishandled tips called into the sheriff's office over the past 2 years, warning that the suspect, Nicholas Cruz, appeared intent on becoming a school shooter. So the FBI knew he was going to be a school shooter, and then the sheriff's office in this county knew that he was going to be a school shooter, knew his name, and knew what school it would be, and they didn't follow up on it.
Andy, you and I both work with the state law enforcement. We've worked with federal law enforcement, both as federal lawyers and as state prosecutors. What's your assessment of this?
Well, it's a horrible betrayal of the trust that people put in local law enforcement, I have to tell you, and it's a departure from local law enforcement action that is unforgivable in this case. This should never have happened. For him to have been cowering outside while the shooter was inside, actively engaged in killing kids.
I mean, he was taking cover, is the report, and this was after the sheriff was so critical, Sheriff Steve Israel, about everything else. I mean, so critical about everything else.
Yeah.
The president put forward today at the CPAC conference a concept of arming certain officials within the public school system. This would not be all teachers. It would not necessarily be teachers. It could be administrators. They said it could be a retired military person that's working as a handyman at the school or in the maintenance
coaches.
Department. Coaches that have been trained and would receive training. And I think, look, that puts more protection inside the school. I think it's a good move. And I think you got to increase the school resource officers. But again, I think having in-school security, so we harden these facilities, just like at the airports, is exactly what we need to be doing. All right, we want your calls and comments on this. 1-800-684-3110.
No one would be forced to do it. This would be on a volunteer basis. They would be subsidized with extra pay for doing so. They would be concealed so that these shooters would not know who had the weapons and who did not, which means they would not be able to just go through these soft target schools. And if they get past the one security guard or they're cowering away, keep on shooting until the SWAT teams and more experienced officers arrive on the scene to shut it down. We'll take your calls, Logan. Coming
up. Yep, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. You can also join us live on Facebook, Periscope, at Jay Sekulow.
Yeah. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Back 1-800-684-3110. Lines are jammed right now. The president addressed this. Do we have that sound now?
We do.
President addressed the sheriff in Broward County, who, in essence, I'd call it dereliction of duty.
It is. That's the least I would call it, dereliction of duty. I think cowardice and betrayal of the citizenry may be another thing, but the idea that you have a deputy who is cowering outside and not going in, and as someone said on the clip that we had, killing the killer, is something that is unheard of. Look, our first line of defense is local law enforcement. Forget the FBI. They have shown their inability to coordinate something like this, and we've spent time talking about that. But where are the police and where is the sheriff when they're on duty and there's an active shooter inside and he's hanging around outside with his gun in his pocket somewhere?
Yeah, so this is what the President of the United States said this morning at CPAC.
That's a case where somebody was outside, they're trained, they didn't react properly under pressure, or they were coward. It was a real shot to the police department.
Shocking. This is a police department putting all the blame on the FBI. There should have been, by the way, plenty of blame on the FBI because their tip lines did not work. Neither did the sheriff's office tip lines. 23 calls directly to the sheriff's office over the last decade, including one last year that said he was collecting knives and guns. Then they also got information over the past 2 years, so more tips, two other tips to that sheriff's office. So this is as local as it gets. Two other tips coming from people who knew Nicholas Cruz, saying he was intent on becoming a school shooter. That was not to the FBI, but to the sheriff's office. So we have one deputy who has resigned after he was a coward, and instead of going into the line of fire, he was the one person with a weapon who could have stopped this shooter earlier, potentially. He cowered away in the bushes while children were being killed. He's resigned. But by the way, he gets armed guards outside of his house right now because, so he's got full security. Two more have been put on leave. So you see at the local level when there's problems, immediate, someone's fired, probably. He resigns.
And removed.
And people are put on leave and probably will also get fired. And there's
at
political
the level, we know no,
sheriff.
I'll
on
ask
the federal
Fan.
Level, no changes.
No, Fan, we'll go right up to Washington, D.C. What's the latest in Washington as it relates to, say, the FBI and their failure on the call on the public access line?
Well, unlike that security officer, everybody at the seventh floor of the Federal Bureau of Investigations down the street from here that was responsible for not making that tip get to the field office in Miami, guess what, Jay? They're all still on the seventh floor of the FBI. Not a single one has been held accountable. So look, there were failures at every level here. And one other thing I would just point out, last night, The sheriff involved in this blamed everyone else when he knew this information and did not disclose it. That was not acceptable. Yep. That is not stepping up and taking responsibility.
Look, this is now a catastrophic failure on two levels of law enforcement, both at the federal level and the state level. And as I said, Andy and I have experience with both, and there's nothing else to say other than this is horrendous, and you've got people that have been young people killed, coaches killed, and the president's offering an alternative, and the left is, the left wants to say gun control, gun control. Actually, the problem with that is, and you can debate all that all you want, that's not solving anything today.
No.
And what we've been focusing on the broadcast right now is what it, can you put in place immediately? And this idea of training people that are on the campus, which means they've already passed security checks and background checks, or else they wouldn't be allowed to be teachers or any job on the school. Those that have been trained properly militarily or police, and you could have a significant security force basically undercover. They don't know who the individuals are. So then with something were to happen, you've got a situation where you could actually seriously take action to defend the students. Remember, we're talking about our approach is harden the target.
Yeah, these would be people who have that background, who then volunteer to do so, would be compensated, by the way. So they would have like kind of a duty to act. They would have concealed permits inside the school. It would not disclose who had those so that these shooters would not know what room to open and what room to open. And unlike this sheriff's deputy who was able to run away, those teachers can't. They're stuck in those rooms. So if they're someone who has experience with firearms, they could absolutely save lives. Can they prevent everything? No, I mean, you can't put that kind of pressure on them. That's not their only focus. But could they have stopped it if it walked into their room? Yes. And so you put enough of those people, and they hear someone coming down the hall, and they come out of their rooms. And I will tell
Popping
you, when the president said that,
yep.
I got excited. I finally felt like we have a leader who's telling us like it is and
not
telling us
about being
what it's
going
to take to actually secure the students. It's not going to take less guns. It's going to take more.
Well, he said the statement, I don't know if we have this one from CPAC today, about the when you have a sign that says gun-free zone, it's not so helpful to the students. I mean, I understand why they have gun-free zones. No third party should be coming on campus that's not right. authorized to have a weapon, should not be able to bring a weapon on campus. I get that. But we got to have more people with weapons on campus, just like you do at the airport or at the state courthouse or at the federal courthouse or at the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. All right, Logan, let's go ahead and take a phone call.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Alan in Vancouver, Washington. You're on the air.
Hey, Alan.
Hey, how are you? Listen, I don't support that sheriff running away at all, and he should be held financially and morally accountable. But is there any possibility that the school board's standard operating procedures would not have allowed him to engage in crossfire in that school building?
The sheriff says that's not the case because the sheriff said what he was supposed to do under the protocol was engage the assailant and kill him. That's what we have that statement from Sheriff Israel? This is what the sheriff said. By the way, he's the sheriff. You know who's responsible for this? The sheriff. Right. But here's what he said.
A deputy arrive at the west side of Building 12, take up a position, and he never went in.
Was he there when the shooter was still inside the building?
Yes, he was.
And so what should he have done?
Went in, addressed the killer, killed the killer.
Tough talk from a sheriff that probably should not be the sheriff of his county. I mean, I hate to say that.
I think that's true, Jay. I mean, it's like I've said on this program before, I am still not satisfied with the response of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. As Stan pointed out,
the
seventh floor of the Hoover building is absolutely silent. Chris Ray, who was on guard, supposedly protecting, defending us with fidelity, bravery, and integrity, hasn't done a thing yet, hasn't had one response.
Not a statement.
And now the sheriff of Broward County comes out and says, yes, he took up a position. He should have gone in there firing, and he's no longer there. Well, Sheriff, why are you still there?
Well, that's a great question.
And the tips, again. I mean, two more tips came in. To the sheriff's department there. So a complete failure by our law enforcement, which I think is what the president was focusing on today, is that we've got obviously problems at the federal level of law enforcement. We all know that. And at local levels as well, as this is indicated. So everybody called. Everybody did the right thing here.
Yes.
I mean, so many people
except law enforcement
had the guts to report someone, knew what the consequences would be for that person, even if they were, you know, close to them or somehow related or someone who took care of them, as this was in a foster program. of exactly what they wanted to do, which was be a school shooter, just like he posted in that comment. And it came to the FBI, and it came in multiple times to the Sheriff's Department, and two people there have been put on leave. But when it comes to the federal government, again, nothing. No one has lost their job.
Not a one. All right, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Logan, you want to take a call or a comment?
Let's go back to the phones because a couple of people are trying to call in. Let's go to Dolores in Colorado. You're on the air.
Hey, Dolores, go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Hey. I appreciate you guys very much. I saw a recent post on Facebook that I think might be a valuable asset to us in trying to protect our schools using our local National Guard units.
Now, actually, we discussed that yesterday. For those school districts that don't think they could get the security that they need right away, especially during this school year, that could be a legitimate utilization by the state governor, would be utilizing National Guard to help patrol the schools. So that would be a function of what the National Guard is trained to do. They know how to engage, and that was floated yesterday as an idea. So I don't know. You said you saw it on a Dolores. You said you saw it on a Facebook post.
Yeah, I saw it on a Facebook post. But also, I was thinking, you know, our military reserves.
Yep.
You know, they're no longer active duty, but obviously they're trained in weaponry.
I think those kind of things make sense actually to utilize on an interim basis. These kind of measures while you're putting in a long-term solution. And I do like what the president is suggesting.
I think
on that.
Where the percentages are, though, is that there are enough of those people already inside the school working for the county. So there are already enough teachers, coaches, other staff, janitorial, electricians on campus, people there, administrators, who have those backgrounds, whether it was military, so they're highly trained with weaponry, or law enforcement, highly trained with weaponry. And unlike a sheriff's deputy who could go run and hide in the bushes and never go in, they're stuck there if one of these shooters comes in. So they have a different kind of responsibility, and I'm sure that there are those who had that kind of training who wish they were armed when this shooter began at this school district. And I think it's a very creative way to get at the heart of the problem without utilizing the guard. And maybe there are some places where you're not going to have that percentages.
Yep.
So you can't find the teachers who will volunteer to do it, and then you do need to use the state guard.
Hey, Than, let me get a 10-second comment from you here, and that is there any response coming from the FBI as to their failure on this? Anything?
Nothing. Silence. They're more than happy to let local law enforcement take the heat on this, Jay.
Well,
more than happy.
We're not going to let them get off the hook because they had the primary failure. If they would have been successful in their intervention, you wouldn't have to worry about the local sheriff. Then you had a dual failure with local law enforcement. So you had a catastrophic failure on multiple levels here. All right, we're taking a break. We come back, Logan. We'll take more calls and more comments as well.
That's right. Phone lines are jammed right now, but they'll open up 1-800-684-3110. You can also get your comments in online. This is Facebook and Periscope. Just search for Jay Sekulow at Jay Sekulow. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, and we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. So we're talking about the fact that the local law enforcement also had a failure here, catastrophic, and that is the sheriff did not engage. But I will tell you, I was at an event recently at a university, and our security personnel were talking with the local, the school, the university personnel. They had a shooting on that campus a couple weeks before we got there. No one was killed, but someone pulled off 8 rounds in a student common area, the student commons. And the security, in this particular school in Georgia, the police for the school are full police officers. It's a police, its own police department. They said they were basically trained not to engage. In other words, not to engage in these kind of things. So, I mean, it's like that. What's that commercial where they, you know, they say you're a dental monitor. You're a right. Soap monitor. You're, you know, I don't take it out. There's a shooting. I notify someone, except you're a guy with a gun and a uniform and a badge. Use it. And I think that was the failure there. But this may be part of the – who knows what the mindset is of what they're being told. But the sheriff said they were supposed to engage. Let's go right back to the phone, Logan.
Yep. All right. Let's go to Jeff in Tennessee. You're on the air.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I'm a lieutenant retired from the sheriff's office.
Yes, sir.
Was away for 30 years. Had the school resource officer under my program for eight years. Every officer in the state of Florida is trained. You have an active shooter. You go into the school. You should not be outside of the school. You go in, you find the target, you eliminate the target, and protect as many lives as you can. What happened in Florida was totally inexcusable. The sheriff needs to be held accountable for it. And the main thing here is I don't know of any law enforcement agency anywhere in the state of Florida or Tennessee, for that fact, that's not trained to go in and seek the shooter. Now, for whatever reason, this officer didn't do it. He needs to be held accountable. He needs to be charged criminally, dereliction of duty. And the sheriff's office itself needs to be held accountable for what they did. It makes me wonder how many other agencies in Broward County, Florida,
yep.
are trained to do this, and if they're not trained properly. So it is inexcusable, totally 100%, that officer did not seek the target, go after it. We either find the target, eliminate it, or we go after the target, and he takes us out, but we did our job.
Yep.
And that's what we're trained to do.
Well, listen, that's what I'm saying, Jeff. I appreciate your service as a deputy for 30 years. And again, we're not condemning local law enforcement on an ad hoc basis here. We're talking about a specific thing. But what I'm concerned about, and I've worked with state law enforcement, do work with state law enforcement, and the idea that here, no engagement and allow this to take place, and the sheriff is now outraged and disgusted. The fact is, this was under his watch, Andy, under his command.
Well, again, as I say, for the FBI purposes, it was under the watch of Chris Wray. He has been notably silent. And Sheriff Israel, I think the same thing. This is something that occurred by a deputy sheriff who was employed by you, who was dispatched by you to this school as the resource officer. Here he is hiding outside while there's an active shooter inside. That is your responsibility. You need to step up to the plate. And what you need to do is... get out of there. You're no longer really fit to be the sheriff of Broward County. That's my opinion.
I mean, it's interesting to see, you know, he was getting all this applause. When they did the CNN thing Thursday night, here's the question. Was that Thursday night they did the CNN or Wednesday night? Wednesday night. Wednesday night they did it, then Thursday it came out. What would have the reaction of the crowd been?
Not the same.
If on Wednesday night this story, which was probably already known,
already known by the sheriff.
Yeah.
He knew it. He was lying about it or concealing it from the people, that this could have at least been prevented to some extent, maybe not fully, but at least an attempted prevention much sooner. I mean, I'm imagining that a sheriff's deputy has got better training than Nicholas Cruz, and with that weapon could have done something to at least stop some of this death and killing, if not all of it, if he would have acted sooner. But it was a large space to patrol. I'll give him that. But he didn't engage. He gets no credit whatsoever. He's basically a deserter in the sense of his law enforcement duties. He laid down his weapon and ran away. It's kind of situation and hid out while kids were being killed. And yeah. I think that's the worst of the worst of how law enforcement can be put on display. And it always goes to the top. It always leads to the sheriff.
But he was, you know, at this Wednesday night CNN forum,
they're basking
Great he was, and his people,
his people did as bad as the FBI.
Maybe worse, because they were local.
Yeah. And there.
Yeah. And got phone calls. Yes. Two people. Remember, it's not just this deputy that's resigned. Right. Two have been put on leave because they got phone calls that Nicholas Cruz, in your community, at this is targeting this school as a school shooter. And it's happened in the last 2 years. They got these calls the last year.
Let me ask this to Than, and that is, we're concerned about this on a state level, the federal level. The president is proposing this idea of having people trained inside the school facilities with the idea that not only would it be able to stop an assailant, but it would be a tremendous deterrent, which I think it really would be a tremendous deterrent. Is there a sense that this is going to move federally? What are you hearing right now? I know this has all just come out of you. What are you hearing now?
Yeah, that's going to be on the agenda next week when he talks to governors again, Jay. And what I'm hearing here is that there's likely going to be a two-tier approach. While the president leads that discussion on what the long-term solution is, I mean, look, the reality is the threat is now. So as they're working on that, I do think the discussion about the guard is going to be in place. It would not be a long-term one. It would be a short-term one. But look, the other thing I'm hearing, Jay, and we just have to say this. I mean, local law enforcement has a hard job. This is not easy. But when you put on that uniform, you are taking an oath to put yourself in harm's way in exchange for the people that you are vowing to protect. That did not happen, and there has been no accountability except for that resource officer. The sheriff stood on the stage and lectured everyone, Jay, and he knew that the failure came from within his department.
Well, he knew before when he was doing the lecture, he knew.
Yep.
So that whole stunt on CNN Wednesday night, and now you got to be finding out that the students were having their questions written by producers. I mean, what a shock that is. But that this lauding this thing, could you imagine if it was out Wednesday night and there were 10,000 people in that auditorium and it was announced, before we start, we have breaking news. Your school resource officers, your sheriff, left the facility and would engage the assailant. And you were the parents or the students. What would the reaction be then? So, I mean, this whole thing takes on a unique life of its own. Logan, do we have time for a quick call before the break?
Yeah, let's go to Gilbert in L.A. real quick.
All right, Gilbert, go ahead.
Gilbert?
Hey, hello. Yes, I'm here. I have a question. Would it be possible, I don't know the legalities of it all, but to have like a civilian response team, somebody that lives across the street at the ready, as opposed to having the teachers that don't want to have a weapon?
I think it would be more difficult because arranging that, the liabilities, the insurance,
the teachers have
already gotten cleared to be the teachers. So they've already gone through those checks to be people that can be trustworthy in the community. And then these teachers would have to be those that had extraordinary experience with handling firearms, the president said, experts, people very familiar, former law enforcement, former military, former weapons trainers, people like that. They estimate that in each school you could find about 10 to 20% of the teachers and staff at the school. So we're talking coaches as well, janitorial staff, technical staff. You combine it all, administrators, and you can find about 10 or 20% out of those who would like to volunteer to take this extra duty on. They would get some more compensation and be able to conceal and carry a weapon in the school to have a duty to protect their students. And as the president said, these are teachers and schools who they love their students. They would have more of a connection sometimes than
look at the way those teachers reacted inside. They were shielding their students.
Yes, without knowing that they would die.
Yep.
Knowing that they would die. We had other students doing that. One with the ROTC, who was holding doors open for people to get in the room while he was getting shot. That should not be the case anymore. We could have people with weapons in the schools who are already gone through clearances.
All right, we're going to be here for another 30 minutes. Logan is going to let, if you only get the first 30 minutes of this broadcast, Logan is going to let you need to stay with us for the hour here. We've got a lot more ahead.
That's right. You can join us online on Facebook, Periscope, ACLJ.org. Just find us on all the different Jay Sekulow pages at Jay Sekulow on Twitter. Also, archive later on the ACLJ app and some of your stations don't carry. Second half hour, so you can catch us live on all those social media platforms. Right now, that's at Facebook.com/Jay Sekulow, Periscope, and at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, ACLJ.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. Everyone taking your phone calls at 800-684-3110. A shocking failure, and that is now local law enforcement, and that is the sheriff announced, and we have that sound, that his deputy sheriff that was in charge, the school resource officer, as they're called, they're armed, trained deputies to protect the students, did not engage the assailant. Here is the sheriff's comments.
A deputy arrive at the west side of Building 12, take up a position, and he never went in.
Was he there when the shooter was still inside the building?
Yes, he was.
And so what should he have done?
Went in, addressed the killer, killed the killer.
Real tough talk from Scott Israel, whose deputy's responsible for this, which means he's the sheriff, he's responsible for this. And let me take it a step further. They had the whole CNN forum, and that's fine. It was interesting. And this information wasn't out on Wednesday, but it was out the next day. What would the reaction have been if before that forum on Wednesday night, it was announced that there was breaking news that the sheriff's office and the sheriff's, now not just one, by the way, we're talking three, did not engage the assailant and covered took cover for themselves, to protect themselves, rather than engaging the assailant. What would the reaction have been of that crowd? You know, they spent all this time attacking Dana Loesch and the NRA, but what would the differential been in that circumstance? You know, lawyers, I deal with evidence. That evidence was not out. I can't imagine the sheriff did not know that at that time. I
mean, he had to have known that at that time. That's why SWAT had to get called in, and that's why there was no one doing anything to stop this shooter other than the unarmed students and staff there who were just trying to block people's bodies by taking bullets on their own and hiding people away in rooms. And so they had to know that their sheriff's duty was MIA. That their deputy was MIA, that he was
right,
not engaging.
Not missing an action. AWOL, absent without leave.
And so, yes, he's resigned. Didn't even have to be fired,
right,
but resigned. Two others, though, have been placed on leave in Broward County because they got tips about Nicholas Cruz specifically as a school shooter at this school.
And nothing
was done about it. So I think, again, this goes to the top. Sheriff Israel should be former Sheriff Israel tomorrow.
Yep. All right, let's do this. We're taking calls, 800-684-3110. Go away from our custom here, Logan, take one during the first segment.
All right, let's go to Jennifer on line six.
Hi, Jennifer, go ahead.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
Good. Say, I agree with Trump. I heard him talk about instilling this concealed carry for everybody in the schools that's qualified and that, you know, wants to volunteer to do it, and that's great. But then I also heard him say about moving it for legal gun purchase to age 21. And to me, I think that that's a hindrance because at age 18, you know, don't we have the boys who are turning 18 sign up for selective service? You know, they got to register.
Yeah.
They can go die for their country at age 18. They can join the military where they're trained to use weapons at age 18. If someone commits a felony at age 18, they could spend life in prison. They
Correct.
Can vote for the president of our country at age 18. So if we're going to treat
you actually can, you could sign up for the military at age 17 as long as your induction date is when you're 18. So same thing with the vote. You could sign up to vote. That's the way all this works. I don't want to get into the age differential or whether that makes a difference. We had a local failure, Andy, on top of a federal failure.
I mean, you know, to Jennifer's comment, that's not really the point right here. The point here is the federal government law enforcement agency, the premier vaunted much great FBI, didn't do what they were supposed to do. And we thought that local law enforcement would protect us. And now we find out the local law enforcement didn't do their job either.
Yep.
So putting aside the Second Amendment, putting aside age and gun control and bolt stocks and bump stocks and all that stuff, I don't know about guns and I'm not interested in all those details. Right now, I'm looking at fundamentals. Where was the school resource officer hiding in the bushes? Why wasn't he in there actively engaging the shooter and killing him? That's the stuff that we need to talk about.
Yeah. All right, we'll take your calls and comments, Logan, when we come back from the break.
That's right. 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines are jammed right now, but you can also find us online. Broadcasting, get your comments in. It's at facebook.com/JSeculo. Periscope, Twitter @JSeculo. Yeah, send us a tweet @JSeculo, Jordan Seculo, Logan Seculo, Than Bennett. And again, ACLJ.org for all your information.
All right. Again, we'll take your calls when we come back. 800-684-3110. We'll be back with you in just a moment. Stay tuned.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Well, as we end the week and we continue our prayers and thoughts for those families that had the horrendous suffering, we now know that the Sheriff's Office of Broward County failed, in addition to the FBI. So we have a catastrophic failure on both federal and state law enforcement. And both situations could have intervened to have either prevented this or stopped some of the carnage. And instead, the sheriff stayed outside. Scott Israel, the sheriff, who's been deflecting to everybody else pretty much during his comments, had this to say as it was about to be public, that his sheriff that was on site, actually on site, did nothing.
In the case of Scott Peterson, our school resource deputy, I want to clarify any rumors, conjecture, or stories that have been out there. Scott Peterson was absolutely on campus through this entire event. He was armed. He was in uniform. After seeing video, witness statements, and Scott Peterson's very own statement, I decided this morning to suspend Scott Peterson without pay pending an internal investigation.
Peterson subsequently resigned. Our director of policy is joining us, Professor Harry Hutchison. Professor Hutchison, your sense of or your thoughts on what this means.
Jay, the unfolding evidence shows that there are multiple failures by law enforcement officials that contributed to the school shooting. First, you have the failure by the FBI, and secondarily, we have the failure by Mr. Peterson. Third, I would add that the sheriff attempted to wrongly deflect criticism of his department by blaming the absence of gun control for the shooting. Keep in mind that the local police officers visited Nicholas Cruz between 20 and 35 times, and they did virtually nothing. And so we have a situation where law enforcement personnel, they are aware of the danger, they are aware of the threat, and then they say, oh, we need more gun control. I think the situation illustrates one final point, and that is the police are not necessarily effective in protecting us at the end of the day.
Which is a tragic statement. I mean, if you've got a federal and state law enforcement failure here, just compounding the tragedy. All right, we're going to take calls because we've got a lot of them coming in.
All right, let's go to Tom, who's calling California.
Hey, Tom.
Yes, hi. My take on this. Armed teachers is not the answer to this problem. They're already overburdened as things are, simply teaching and in many, many ways raising some of our students in their care. They do not need this added burden, nor are they ever going to become expert at the task of protection with all else that they have to do. We need full-time armed guards on campus, both inside and outside, trained to stop the problem before it even gets started. We have literally thousands, including myself, spent 8 years in the Marine Corps, of military men and other people who would gladly, happily volunteer to do this to take care of our children. Thousands.
Here's where I would disagree. First of all, we had trained law enforcement on site, and it did nothing. And we had a failure both at the FBI level and at the local level. And by the way, I think school districts utilizing volunteers that meet the certain clearance requirements, training requirements, previous military, I think those are options. Valid options. I don't think the president's not saying this is it. And he's not saying armed teachers. It's not necessarily teachers.
No.
It may be, but if you have a teacher that was a former military marksman, that may be a teacher you'd like to have a concealed carry or with the proper training. They've already got background checks that have the training. Go ahead.
I'd say people who are former law enforcement who know how to handle the weapon, people who have were in the military, and then you've got teachers who may be in trainers at shooting ranges and know experts in weaponry. They would volunteer for this.
Yes.
And be compensated.
And they're inside the school building.
So it's not like we're forcing teachers to all carry weapons. That is not what the president is saying here. He's had to make that clear because, of course, CNN tried to spin it that way. The truth is in this situation, some lives, I think you could say with certainty, would have been saved. We don't know if all. This is a large school. We don't know how many of those teachers would have qualified. But some lives would have been saved because the law enforcement there who did have a gun ran away from the scene. And the tips that came in were ignored.
Yeah, if you're just joining us, so I went to Than Bennett, our director of governmental affairs in our office in Washington, our studio right there right now. And that is the federal response on this has been also really pathetic. In fact, it's fair to say, Than, as of at least right now, while we're alive today, there has been no federal response.
Well, the only response was that admission by Director Ray that there had been failures passing along. And by the way, Jay, they announced that at a strategic timing where it was buried in the news and almost nobody paid attention. And since then, he and the rest of the leadership at the FBI on the seventh floor have disappeared. They have not stepped up to the plate and taken accountability. And that might be one reason that lower levels of law enforcement feel like they can do the same, because it is being modeled in Washington, D.C. And Jay, I would say one more thing. I don't think Congress is exempt from this anyway, because almost that entire discussion right now is revolving around age and background checks, neither of which would have stopped this.
Right.
They have to start talking about ways that they can support the hardening of schools. There are ways, Jay. Shared federal-state grants, that would be one way to implement a number of these ideas we're talking about.
Harry, from a policy standpoint, they mentioned kind of federal-state partnerships.
Absolutely. So if we go back to 2013... Ted Cruz and Senator Grassley, they authored a proposal to improve training to protect schools. That was turned down. So that is a congressional failure, and we ought to lay some blame at the feet of Congress. We also need to ask this question with respect to Scott Peterson. Did he receive proper training? Was he fit for his job? Did anyone bother to find out? Those are questions that we need answers to, and it may require a federal and state partnership to ensure that in the future, so-called resource officers have sufficient training.
I think what Harry says is right. I mean, this is all those things have to be looked at. The question is, the immediate fix on this is what the president's addressing, things that can be implemented short term, but also maybe the long term fix too. But I think it's going to be a combination of things, not just one thing. Let's take another call, Logan.
Let's go to Wendy on line 5. You're on the air.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi, everyone. How are you today?
Good.
I just had like a question, kind of comment. I was wondering how old was this officer that was supposed to go into school and engage? Because if he was up for retirement, I'm thinking maybe he was afraid to go in there thinking some punk kid's going to take him out and won't be able to.
Well, I mean, look,
so what?
So, yeah, I mean, go ahead, Jordan.
I mean, this is his job. He's a police officer. He's supposed to be in the line of fire. This is why we honor those who serve in law enforcement. It's why we respect those who serve in law enforcement. It's why there are ceremonies for those who bravely serve, as for those who are not fallen, those who are fallen. But part of it is the risk that you take. to serve your community is that you're not supposed to make your decisions based off whether you're going to reach retirement. In fact, that just makes me more upset, more angry if we found that out in this kind of situation. That because that's why 17 kids are dead is because you're going to reach retirement. I mean, these are not – don't make excuses for bad acting law enforcement officials.
Exactly.
Most are good people, but we're seeing some bad actors on display in this one at all levels, federal and state and local, and it is pretty sickening to think that we all pay for this with our taxpayer dollars federally, and then those taxpayers in Florida and Broward County are paying for it locally as well.
Yep. All right, let's go ahead and take another call, 1-800-684-3110.
Yep, Wendy in California on line 4.
Wendy, you're on the air.
Hi. My question is the deputies that were suspended or left, you know, immediately the lowest level gets punished for their misbehavior. Why hasn't there been suspensions or firings up the line? Why is it the little guy who's following the bad example of the big ones, and the big ones just get away with
it? Well, I asked that question, Andy, for instance, the sheriff here who knew this Wednesday. He had to know this Wednesday before they did that form. They just didn't release the information on this because that would have changed that whole form, completely changed that whole form. And the entire narrative that CNN was putting forward would have had a shift. You had a catastrophic local law enforcement failure.
You did. And the sheriff is ultimately responsible. Look, this guy, Scott Peterson, whether through cowardice, ineptness, fear, whatever it was, failed in the line of duty to protect those students, and he was the person on the scene to do it. He was suspended, and then he resigned. But the buck stops with the sheriff of Broward County, and if he had any decency about him and really was devoted to his position and the honor of that position, he would say, look, one of my subordinates failed to do what could have resulted in protecting 17 children from being dead. I don't deserve to be in this position.
I mean, these teachers were putting their bodies in harm's way with no protection.
The reason why, though, is that they are elected officials. So in these cases, they would have to resign or the people would vote them out. Deputies are not the lowest level people, by the way. So when these two deputies are put on leave, it's not the lowest level people. That's the next level down from the elected sheriff.
Right.
So that's number two.
All right, Logan, our phone lines are jammed, but we're going to get through with them, so people should keep calling.
Yep, now all calls make it up to 1-800-684-3110. We'll take as many calls as we can coming up. We'll also have a lot of comments from social media. We'll take some of those during the break as well. That's, again, online at aclj.org, Facebook, Periscope, at Jay Sekulow. But give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Last segment, so we're going to take as many calls as we can, 800-684-3110. Logan, you navigate this for us. Here we go.
All right, let's start. Let's go to Jim in Oregon on line six. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. Yep. Quick question for you.
Yep.
So why are we drafting legislation right now as we speak to beef up the security in our schools? My wife's a teacher in Oregon, and the security's a joke.
Yeah, well, this is the problem. The security problems are significant. We are working on a full policy plan. But by the way, this name, some may be federal, some may be state, right, Harry? I mean, this is a
Absolutely.
This is where you've got the state, federal partnerships potentially. You've got other approaches. The president gave, I think, some really good points today that could be adopted. But again, it's going to also take the local governments being involved.
Absolutely. So I think the caller is absolutely correct. We need to focus on immediate improvements in school security. That should be our priority at the moment. There may indeed be some longer-term solutions that we can work on in the interim, but we need to strengthen school security right here, right now.
All right, we're going to take more calls. 1-800-684-3110.
Let's go to Marcus in San Diego. You're on the air.
Hi, Marcus.
Hi. Hi. I work in a facility that when we do fire drills, the doors automatically close. Why do we do that for the schools that will also close and lock?
Well, look, I've talked about that. So I think there are, in addition to the security issues of man security, there are things that can be done structurally, physically to the facilities themselves, including when there's a lockdown, steel doors on the doors to the classroom that are magnetized. In other words, you can't open them, preventing someone from coming in. So that, I think that is... These are all part of the ideas that you put forward when you're looking at a – this has to be looked at comprehensively. There's not one thing. So arming some of the school personnel I think is a good idea, what the president talked about. I think the idea of securing the classrooms themselves is another good idea. Magnometers may be another necessary idea.
You can't take over cockpits anymore in the United States of America because the doors that have been installed by all airlines, mandated by the federal government, the FAA. So – the idea that you can go and take over a plane and use it as a weapon or try to hijack a plane is impossible now for even the best criminals because they can't get through the doors to the pilots. They can do whatever they want, demand whatever they want, and those doors won't open. And because of that, that issue has been solved. It doesn't mean they don't try to do other things with planes, with explosives and other things, but it solved one of the issues, the main issue that we faced with the 9/11 terror attacks, which was taking over the cockpits.
So, Harry, when you're looking at this, because it was a good call-out legislation, what are we doing right now at the ACLJ?
Well, we are researching a number of proposals, but I also think our bottom line is we all agree that reliance on the police and the FBI at this particular moment in time is insufficient. So we need to empower local officials. We also need to insist on proper training. So one of the questions with respect to Scott Peterson is, was he properly trained? Did anyone bother to find out whether he had adequate training?
He was a veteran of this law enforcement officer. What was it, 30 years? He's a 30-year police officer.
And this fits a disturbing pattern. So if you look at the Pulse nightclub shooting, the SWAT team, one of the best SWAT teams in America, stood outside for 3 hours before entering the facility while bullets were flying. In the Newtown shooting, the Sandy Hook shooting, the police stood outside for 5 minutes while the gunman was still shooting. So there are huge problems that need to be solved.
Is this a training issue? I mean, you deal with law enforcement every day.
Yes, I do. I don't know if it's a training issue because I think they're trained, Jay. I think it is an issue of whether or not these officers have the courage to go into this situation. This is a failure of courage, I think, in my view, an act of plain old cowardice.
Fan, talk to me about what you think is going to move federally on any of this.
Well, I actually had a series of meetings on this yesterday, Jay, and I was disheartened by them, to be real honest with you, because to follow up on what Harry was talking about, everything is revolving around an age to purchase and then this bill that would dock the bonuses of political appointees who don't properly uphold records. Look, I said it very plainly to them yesterday. Yeah, a lot of these decisions, of course, will have to be made on a local level, and flexibility will have to be involved, just like you were talking about. But, Jay, there's a role for the federal government to play. And I think the president modeled this right when he said, let's put all of the ideas on the table.
Yep.
Do not be afraid of political correctness. Put them on the table. Let's have an honest discussion. And then let's incentivize them to choose the one that's right for them. Jay, it's going to be a logistical nightmare for many of them. But guess what? We secure the things that are a priority to us, like our homes and businesses, and we don't secure our schools.
I'm not so concerned about their logistical nightmares.
Yep.
Because they created their own nightmare with the tragedy that took place in Florida. Jordan?
No, I mean, we have federal law enforcement failures. Shame on them. Shame on the local law enforcement failures as well. And so it's time for the communities to do something about it. And our president, taking the lead as commander-in-chief, as you notice, is saying, basically, let's not rely just on those local failures and federal failures, and let's take some of this ownership at our own at the community level. And that's what he's talking about. The teachers who are going to be in the classroom in that line of fire, if one of these shooters shows up at their school, they have nowhere to run. So if some of them are armed because they had the appropriate training and background, they could be used to at least stop some of this carnage.
So Harry, so I want everybody to know that's watching the broadcast or listening to the broadcast right now, we are looking at concrete alternatives, concrete ideas to move on this, and from multiple sources. So we're looking at this both on a state and federal level, as well as implementation even down to the county level.
Absolutely. So one of the things that we should focus on, and it's going to be very difficult to enforce, but I think it's essential, and that is we have to remove cowardice and incompetence from both the police and the FBI.
But how do you know of the cowardice before the act? That's the problem.
You don't, but when it's demonstrated, as it was in this particular case,
yep.
Yes, I admit that Scott Peterson has resigned, but what about the sheriff? What about Christopher Wray? What about terminating or removing the FBI officials who fail to
pass the
information on to the field office? We have to start. I mean, those are things that we can do very, very quickly, in addition to which we need to strengthen perhaps background checks. And a number of other things. But those things take time.
Let's talk about the sheriff thing for a moment here, because this sheriff who went out there was very aggressive on we need more gun control, and this was kind of his approach, and does that for him, and this information was not public, although I'm sure he knows it. But as Jordan said, he's an elected official, so you can't just fire him.
That's right. He'd have to resign
or be recalled.
He could be removed
by
the governor.
The governor can remove him?
The governor can remove him for incompetence in office, yes, sir.
Even if they're elected?
Yes, that's correct.
All right.
So I mean, there's ways to do it. It's not a firing way, though. Because he's an elected official. So there's the more extraordinary ways, as Andy talked about, these recalls are being removed by the governor, and then there's the electoral process as well. I think because of what he did by going on a town hall, putting the blame elsewhere, and concealing the truth that it was his own deputy who ran away from the fire.
Yep.
Makes him someone who should no longer be in that position.
There's going to be, I will promise you, there's going to be a lot more discussion on this over the weekend. And there's ways for you to stay engaged with us
over the weekend as well. Yeah, if the liberal media still talks about
it anymore. Yeah, we'll see what happens now that this is out. If they continue to talk, they'll change their topic. But Logan will tell you how you can stay engaged with us all weekend.
Yep, all weekend. Join us on ACLJ.org. Post new content there. Also on our social media. Make sure you're following us at Jay Sekulow, Jordan Sekulow, Logan Sekulow, Than Bennett, ACLJ, all on Twitter. Subscribe to the Jay Sekulow podcast. Download the ACLJ app. We'll talk to you next week.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.